Hello and welcome to Sustainable Warwickshire, a podcast talking about all things related to climate change and sustainability across the county of Warwickshire.
Hello, I'm Steve Smith, the Director at Warwickshire County Council, and I'm your host of our podcast series, Sustainable Warwickshire. We hope to share some of the things being done to fight climate change and support biodiversity from across the county, and give you some ideas on what you can do to play your part. In this episode, we're going to be talking about community action. That is how groups of local people in Warwickshire are getting together to run initiatives, raise awareness, and develop projects to reduce carbon emissions in their area. This approach is at the heart of the Sustainable Warwickshire strategy, which recognises that much more can be achieved when local councils and communities work together. So, given the importance of this subject, I'm especially excited to share that we have two heavyweights of local community action on local climate change joining me today. First, Bob Sherman, co-founder and chair of the Low Carbon Warwickshire Network, which connects low carbon groups across the county, sharing ideas and supporting new activity. And joining him is Andrew Malifont, environmental and sustainability advisor to the Society of Local Council Clerks and chairman of the Great Collaboration. So Andrew and Bob, you have so much experience of working with local councils and communities. We have a huge amount to talk about, clearly. Andrew, if we can start with you, would you like to introduce yourself and say a little bit about the work and the different roles that you fulfil?
Oh, thanks. By the way, in terms of being a heavyweight, I am trying to lose weight, but that's another matter, not for subject for this conversation. moving swiftly on, I've skittled sideways through several careers, Steve, to find out what I was here to do, what was important to me, has changed over time, and I've been fortunate over time to have done that. When I was starting as a young man trying to sell computers and failing, I discovered that actually was helping other people was what I was about. That's what I was really interested in. I got through to working in community projects, got it based into community-based regeneration work for a while. That's after I'd done a postgraduate course, which sort of got me ready for doing that kind of thing. And subsequently got into being a town and a parish clerk, which is also very much about working with local people to local ends. I was doing things with, when I became self-unemployed, when I departed from the city council, I started to something called the Community Works, which was very much about helping people to help themselves. And then subsequently, when I've had, I think anybody involved in climate change has this sort of road to Damascus moment when they realise that there is something they can do would be helpful. And I had mine about 2.5 years ago. And so I suppose I'm now in the business of helping communities to help themselves with particular reference to climate change, working with the Society of Local Clerks, working with the National Association of Local Councils, working with county associations, but also the Great Collaboration is something which is a format and a process and a network for sharing good practice across the country, including very much Warwickshire. So that's a quick gallop sideways through all the different things I've been doing, and it's not dull.
Certainly not. Thank you, Andrew. And Bob, many of our Warwickshire listeners might know your name, might have heard you before from the Low Carbon Warwickshire Network, but you're involved with much more than this in the county. Can you summarise it all for us?
Yes, I'll try not to take too long. It all started back in 2010 in the village where I live, which is Harbury. And I and some others decided to start a low carbon group in the village, which we called Harbury Energy Initiative, with the aim of trying to engage people in actually taking practical action. We didn't want another talking shop. In fact, that's why we set it up. There was far too much talk and whinging and stuff about climate change. We wanted people to do things, and we set about doing practical projects in the village. And as these things happened, one thing led to another. So a little idea would beckon to me and I couldn't resist. So I then started something else. So the next thing was something called Harbury E-Wheels, which is a social transport scheme, which is a registered charity now. We provide free transport to people in need who are referred to us using two electric cars. And then out of that came a project for an EV charging station in the village, which we've been doing with the County Council. It started off as our project and we got lots of funding to get it to a business ready stage, but it's now a county project and that should happen this year. And round about the same time, that project has now turned us into a CIC. So Harbury Future Energy, which was the name of the project, is now a community interest company. And we're looking for our next project, which is probably going to be about heat networks in the village. And then about the same time as that EV charging station project, we started Low Carbon Warwickshire Network. So it was a couple of us who thought, well, we know there's stuff going on in our village and we know one or two places in Warwickshire where something is happening in rural areas. Other than that, we don't think there's a lot going on. Let's find out. So we held a meeting and from that very simple start, we now have 36 groups linked together through the network.
That sounds tremendous. And Bob, do you know that similar types of structure and an initiative happen elsewhere in the country? Is that network spreading?
I'm pretty sure it is happening. I mean, different counties do things different ways, different regions do things different ways. And there are certain areas like Oxfordshire, for example, in the southwest of England, where there's a lot of activity going on, really good activity, well-funded activity as well. But we like to keep it local. I don't want to get any bigger. Warwickshire's big enough for me, thank you very much. And you start to lose the identity of something the bigger you get.
Yes. And Andrew, what's your experience about what happens elsewhere?
Right. Well, we're very much looking at a county basis for a national network, because I'm very much agreeing with Bob that the county is a very appropriate area from which to focus activity and to help to support activity. I know this because when the Great Collaboration started, this is a project we've inherited from Herefordshire, and the Herefordshire Green Network voluntary sector body was initiating that, and they were producing this website with guidance and giving talks to town and parish councils in the county. So I know it works. I've done some research around the whole country, and Bob is absolutely right. There's different ways of doing it in different places. In some places, I've found that it's the churches that are leading on a sort of climate action. In Essex, it's the Women's Institute who are doing a lot of work about it. Some places, there are networks which are well publicized. Some places, as Bob has said, you're not always know exactly what's happening. Part of our aim is to join up all these networks, people aware of each other, and to share good practice, because there may be something good things happening in Warwickshire, which there are, of course, which they don't know about in Northumberland and vice versa. So it's very much a networking world, and there are networks and we need to join them up.
Yes. And I can endorse what you both said there, really, that there are other movements in different parts of the country. And we found in my climate change team, we've been learning from others in Oxfordshire, certainly somewhere in the northeast, some parts of the northeast as well. And you can see where particular initiatives have worked well, and we can follow those rather than reinvent the wheel. So it's great to hear that there's quite a movement across the UK that's happening in its own way, in its own locality. And I couldn't agree more that you've got to suit the right shape and size in order to keep the action local. Absolutely. Yeah. If we could just turn then to the point about town and parish councils, and Andrew, if I can come to you really, just to given your experience in that sector, just to give a flavour of their role and how they're being active in this particular space of climate change.
There's a number of ways that town and parish councils can become involved. No council at any level, as you'll know, Steve, has a statutory duty to do work in this area. But certainly at town and parish council level, there are very many statutory powers they can use to get involved, all the way from developing new allotments, which is one of the few statutory duties they've got, very much including the biodiversity duty on all local councils to have to consider biodiversity and wildlife and everything they decide, and so on. We're finding that some councils have started work. Some councils have declared an emergency of some kind. I think a number of councils want to do things, but they're not quite sure exactly what to do, where the funding and the power is going to come from, but we can advise them on that. probably a small majority of councils, I would think, are doing something which is of benefit in a time of climate change without necessarily realising it. Anybody doing work on improving and clearing local rights away, of course, is helping with that. Certainly anything to do with new allotments and all that. Some councils have taken the decision, going back to Bob's point about carbon networks, to actually aim to being carbon neutral. In other words, to really have a go at the emissions of carbon that their businesses are making. My estimate is there's probably only about 5% of local councils are currently working actively with their communities on a joined up action plan. Now, bear that out from a member survey from the Society of Local Council Clerks last year. That's an estimate. So it can be done. It is being done around the country in different places. Frome Town Council, in particular in Somerset, is one that's been one of the leaders in that. But there is more to do. And our mission is to help not only town and parish councils know what they can do, but help local community groups know how to approach their town and parish councils, because this is a two-way street, isn't it? So there we go. And of course, dealing with their local planning authorities and county councils, because there's a sort of stratigraphic, can I even get it out behind my teeth? There is a that sort of direction of flow, as well as going sort of horizontally, if you like. There's a vertical approach as well.
Yes. And Andrew, I'm conscious that there isn't always a town or parish council covering all of Warwickshire. There are parts that aren't covered by that. So how do people engage with their local council? Is it that they engage with the district or borough council or come to the county? What's your experience there?
It varies tremendously. I mean, there are some, and I won't mention any names, but there are some officers appointed at district level who are very much engaged in things at their district level with their district, and they're not always very responsive to requests from information from people on the ground. The better ones, of course, are doing that. Certainly this is where the community group element can come in. I mean, there are lots of areas of the country, I mean London in particular, which are largely unparished for historical reasons. But on the other hand, you can develop a parish. There was a new parish council, community council in London recently called at Queen's Park. So you can develop new ones, and there are advantages in that in terms of having some funding and having some extra connections with people. There are lots of other networks. There are networks, there's something called Locality, which joins up local development organisations. There are things like Friends of the Earth. There's things like the Transition Network. There are rural community councils, of course. So there are lots of different networks and ways in which people can get engaged in this if they don't have a town or parish council. And again, while our aim is to actually spread that news around so that people, if they want to do something, they know where they can do to join up.
And Bob, if I come to you and thinking about Harbury, what kind of support have you had from the local council structure? Has it worked? Has it provided opportunity? Has it opened doors for you? What's been your experience?
Well, it's interesting because I'm obviously looking at it from the outside of the local authority networks. So perhaps my experience would be quite different from Andrew's, and I'm amazed at how he keeps tabs with all that stuff he's talking about. I couldn't. When we set up Harbury Energy Initiative in the beginning, we felt it was very important that we connected to the parish council. It gave us legitimacy, and it gave us a connection to the whole administrative setup. What I have discovered, I think, through all the years that I've been working on this, is that parish councils, even though they're the lowest level of local authority, the smallest level, they have a lot to do. And it's much better, in my opinion, for them to find a community champion, to create a group linked to them to get on with the business, rather than trying to do it themselves, because they've got too much else to worry about. And that's worked very well in Harbury. And we've had certainly had some financial help when we first set up Harbury eWheels. Harbury Parish Council helped us. But we've also, I mean, subsequently, now that we're doing all these other things, I've made sure that we linked up with Claudine Pearson from Warwickshire Association of Local Councils, because that enables us to get our message out more widely. we've always tried to find out what we could and connect as well as we can to district council and county council, and we got this car park, this EV charging station project now working with the county. It can be frustrating because the local authorities work at a very different speed to us. We can be a bit more nimble. We don't have a lot of bureaucracy to worry about, and we're not nearly as cautious. So there could be, you know, there could be a good way of doing things there that sort of bypasses some of the trip ups that you get. It is frustrating if you're not in local authority trying to get things to happen when you can see where the end is, but you're just not getting there because it's got to go through all these departments. I don't know what goes on, but anyway, I know that there is obviously a very different approach to risk that they have. But also the other great thing it can do is it can access much larger funding pots. We'd never have been able to do the EV charging station without County Council because it's £750,000. And this has come from the levy fund, which is a government grant given only to counties. And it was the only way we could see it was going to happen. So, you know, that's a big advantage. So all in all, I think my experience is it's really important to work with local authorities, and we want to have that good connection, but we want them to use us too, because we are a network already. You don't have to create a new one.
I quite agree. And we'll explore a little bit later the power of community groups and community champions as you raise that point. But it is it should be a two-way thing that it might be a route to funding, but at the same time, you want to be able to get the ease of, you know, the decisions made and the process done as quickly as possible so that you can achieve what you want to. So I do appreciate what you're saying there, Bob. Andrew, did you want to come in on those points around the operation?
Very much agreeing with Bob, and we're saying to town and parish councils, don't try and do it yourself. I've been 8 years as a parish clerk. I know what it's like. You can't do it on your own. Get involved with the local people. Very much important to do that. The other thing is about between different councils, there are things that the planning authorities can do, things to do with planning gain, shall we say, section 106 agreements, you know, community infrastructure levy. And I'm saying to people at town and parish council level, if there is a project or an opportunity or something in your parish and your town area that needs some funding, for heaven's sake, get your ideas in early. Tell the local planning authority, get your stuff in there, get it on the programme. This is also going to apply to biodiversity net gain, which is something that came in everywhere yesterday, which is something that we have. Developers are being obliged to improve the biodiversity on their development site by 10%. They're trying to evolve, get away out of that in different ways. One of the ways they get out of it and saying, oh, well, we can't do it on this site, we'll do it somewhere else for you. And so, again, town and parish councils, knowing their areas, community groups supporting them. Here we are, right next to this development site, there's this site that could be improved, or whatever it is. Otherwise, if there's a danger that some developer does a piece of work, covers it in tarmac, and any benefit goes to the next county, you know, and then the local planning authority have trouble dealing with that. So there are increasing ways in which the town and parish councils, working with their community groups, can get involved, particularly with their local planning authority, on these matters. Get the ideas in soon.
That's right. And being prepared in that way and planning ahead and saying, OK, if the money was available that we would want to invest in local biodiversity projects that can be done, funded from that net gain, as you say, from developer gain, which is close by. It's got to be the right way rather than it be sent at a distance somewhere else and benefit a different part of the world necessarily. So I do agree with that we want to keep that local. So if we just turn towards community groups now, and I know we've touched on this already, Bob, but it'd be interesting to hear in more detail the Harbury experience, and particularly how you've brought like-minded people together, volunteers, if you like, and how it works in practice. I've already heard from you that you're trying to steer clear of it not being a talking shop, that actually, and you don't want detailed committee structures, etc., where things are discussed and not action taken. It'd be really helpful to hear your experience about how you've made it work in your location.
It's been an interesting trip for me, really, because I started off with an informal but constituted group linked to a parish council with Harbury Energy Initiative. And I'm now a director on a community interest company, which is a legal entity and has to have all the proper job done. So it's really... the important thing really is about engagement of local people, and it's not always that easy. It varies so much from community to community. And the way that we've structured the Low Carbon Warwickshire Network is to say, we're not in charge of this. All our job is to link you together and see if there's ideas somebody's got that you could use, or how we can benefit from each other and gradually build up some resources so that we can support people. But we don't have a bank account. We don't have a constitution. We are completely informal. We have a steering group. But what we keep saying to people is, this is about the groups, not about the centre. So we will help and support you. And we've had actually the other great beneficial support we've had is from the RSA. I don't know if you're familiar with the RSA, the Royal Society for the Encouragement of Arts, Manufactures and Commerce, because several of us are fellows of that. And they have their networks as well. So these networks can get quite complicated. And you can end up in so many networks, you can't remember what you said to who. But communities differ so much. So we've had great difficulty, for example, trying to engage in the north of the county. And I think that's a quite common, possibly because structures are different up there, also the demographics different up there. But it's not easy to do. And one of the reasons, picking up on the point about actions, not words, one of our starting points for this, well, you know, we've got Friends of the Earth and Greenpeace and locally the Warwickshire Climate Alliance doing all the policy stuff, and they're very good at it, and we're not. I don't want to do that stuff anyway. It bores me. I want to put up wind turbines and things like that. So it's all very variable. That's partly what keeps me stimulated. But I think the key thing about it is it gives people a sense of engagement and ownership of what's going on. Yeah. And that's what makes things happen. If there's no ownership, people are not going to join in behind you. Usually what you get is about anything from half a dozen to a dozen people who are actually making things happen, and everybody else is just benefiting.
Yeah, and I know what you're saying by that, Bob. I think where the strength of community groups can is that it's driven by a nucleus of really engaged people, passionate about the subject, who have got their own drive and momentum. Without the county council or other councils for that matter getting in the way, but providing help when called upon, or access to funding when called upon, or some other know-how, whether it's a legal support or other that it can be provided for. But Andrew, what's your experience in the field of community groups, whether they're constituted or not? Do they have a life of their own?
Well, they do. And I think there are different ways in which people can be involved. I'll give you a story. I used to be supporting community environment projects in Hampshire. And people were doing different things. They were improving footpaths. They were creating ponds, a whole host of different activities. This particular group wanted some more members, more volunteers. And so they put out a message, of course. They put out, we didn't have the internet in them days, no, but they got the message out around notice boards and so forth. And I saw the message. And what it basically said was, we want people twice a month for hard physical labor. And I'm thinking, consequently, they didn't get any volunteers. But for heaven's sake, you know, what about organizing? What about planning? What about preparing the teas? What about doing the publicity? What about having social events? I mean, if you're going to volunteer for anything, it's going to have to be fun somewhere along the line. I've actually said in other circles that maybe about 50% of your time as a volunteer should be enjoyable, should be what you're doing with other people to have fun. And that's a message that goes across an awful lot of these activities. So it's got to be fun. We have got the internet now. We have got text. We have got other ways of doing stuff. But posters and reaching different age groups, depending on where they are, it is a discipline, and you can look at it and do it in better ways. It's no point just putting it on a website. When was the last time any of us said, oh, I've got nothing to do tonight, I'll just look on the webs on the internet, see if I can find whatever it is I'm looking for? No, that doesn't happen. We've got to be making it very accessible to people. Hey, what about if there's a development in your nearest town and they've got these big placards all the way around it, you know, holding off the site? Great place. Yes, slap some posters on there. Absolutely. Great fun.
Yes. Yeah. And engaging people takes a lot of time and effort. Yep. And obviously we know at a local level, whether it's controversial development or a different approach to a service that's changing, would stimulate further engagement. But I believe in, if you want things to happen on scale, at least you've got to engage people and you've got to talk to them and provide the opportunity for people to talk to you and listen. And you've got to listen and take on board what they want. And I'd just like to explore, Bob, coming back to the projects that you were talking about at the beginning, how they're going really. And have they got people excited? Are people looking for more? Is it the projects must make it more real for people in your locality to see that action is actually happening.
I think one of the downsides to me is that I'm very impatient and I tend to have an idea and immediately start to think it's going to happen. But the Harbury Energy Initiative has been very successful. Actually, they've done a lot of things. They put in internal wall insulation to the community library. They put a 19 kilowatt battery into the village hall. They put solar panels on the roof of the school. So they've been able to achieve a lot of things. One of the things actually I meant to say earlier was that what you find in communities is a surprising amount of expertise, which you might not have known was there. You know, villages are often full of retired engineers and, you know, planning people and people, legal people. And you know, some of them are looking for something to do. So you can, you know, you can give them plenty to do. So I'm very excited about where we've got to with the Low Carbon Warwickshire Network, because 2 years of the time since we started in 2019 were COVID years. We couldn't do anything. And what we tend to do is we run events in local venues and try to get really clued up speakers to come and talk to people from Act on Energy, for example. Ideally, if we could, someone from the district council to talk about what their plan is, technical experts on heating or insulation or solar power, whatever. And that's worked very well. These events, we've had 10 of them now. The last one was in Wellesbourne. The next one is going to be an arts event, which is going to be in Lillington. So that will be well worth attending. That's all day, that one. Usually we're just half a day. And we tend to get 60 or 70 people coming to these events in small local communities. Some quite small villages as well. I mean, Roxton, we did one there, and that we had about 60 or so people to that. So they do work. And these groups then go on to do active things. So yes, and I'm also delighted with the way eWheels has survived. I mean, we started that in November of 2015, and we've kept going with free transport to people ever since then. We've now got more volunteers than ever.
I mean, there's a lot in what you've just said there, Bob. What about you, Andrew? Are you seeing particular projects or initiatives? What's coming through the Great Collaboration? Are there particular themes or things that people are interested in?
I think biodiversity and things to do with nature and wildlife seem to be the most popular things, because there are lots of different interests that can engage in that kind of matter. I mean, we've had the RSPB, for example, doing their annual bird surveys. You know, what can you see in your back garden? That's been going for lots of years. So a lot of people have been involved in that for many reasons for different times. So they're perhaps more likely to get involved through that route than perhaps thinking about community energy or transport or other matters. So I think that's where it is at the moment. There are there is a community energy initiatives nationally, and Bob will tell us a bit more about that, I'm sure. I think they're looking around the nation. in within Warwickshire, the Warwickshire and West Midlands Association of Local Councils is gathering information about what is happening with their local town and parish councils. I don't know as much of it about there do. I'm told about, is it Shipston's got some a natural flood management program going with money from as community infrastructure levy. There is it Snitterfield Parish that has got some land that the county councils get involved with some business planning and funding for that for ecological reasons. Going back into not a million miles from Harbury, Napton Parish Council has been doing a bit of a parish survey on this with the help of the Napton Environmental Action Team, which is another good example of local people and the council getting together. So there are many, many things happening. In terms of wind turbines, Bob, that you've mentioned, there's a parish council in North Yorkshire in Droughton and are actually working on a wind turbine project up there, and there's sorts of issues about that. There is a lot of information going on. What our aim is with the Great Collaboration is to help people navigate what we call the climate action jungle, because there's so much of it out there, so many different topics. What are the things that are going to make more of a difference? How are we going to present it to people? And the unfortunate thing in a way is that every time somebody comes up with a good idea, the jungle gets thicker and there's more information to engage with. So we're very much looking to being a signposting and joining up network, partly through a website, partly through local connections to share that information around. So lots of things are happening. What I tend to say, Steve, is the yeast is rising in the dough. People are getting more and more interested in this, and hopefully that's part of your experience as well. But we need to share that joy and pleasure and get it going everywhere.
Yes. And as an amateur brewer, I understand that what yeast can do, and it can sometimes boil over the top as well. Absolutely. Or get it wrong and it goes flat completely. Absolutely. But enough metaphors from me. Bob, did you have a view about this, about the initiatives that you're seeing and what's happening?
Yes. What seems to be coming through for us is, I would completely agree about the ecological stuff. Wildflower meadows are quite a popular thing amongst groups. It's a good thing to get started with as well, because it's not too difficult, not too expensive, provided you've got some land. But the other things that seem to be topics at the moment are repair cafes. So we've got them starting up in Napton, which incidentally was the second community to join the network. And they started a trend. So Neat became Great and Sweat and all sorts of other EATs. But there are other repair cafes. Bishop's Tatchbrook Harbury's got one, and they're popping up now everywhere. Thermal cameras seems to be another one, helping people see where they've got leaky housing. So Shipston are doing that. Barford's been doing it for a while. Napton, Harbury would like to try and get their hands on some thermal cameras. And eco fairs seem to be popping up now. Lots of communities doing little mini eco fairs. Kenilworth, Napton, Shipston. We've been doing one in Harbury for a while. So those are the ones that seem to be coming through.
And there's lots there, and I didn't expect it for a minute, didn't doubt it for a minute that there wouldn't be a lot going on in different parishes. So how do those areas that may be listing that aren't involved yet, and you mentioned the jungle there, Andrew, how does one break into it? What's the starting point, would you suggest, Andrew?
Okay. Are we talking about an individual or a group or a parish council or all
three? It could be either, but anybody who's listening in who thinks, I like the idea of starting a repair cafe, or actually we would like to get into the market of solar on our public building, on our village hall or whatever. Where do you think that people should start, Andrew? I'll come to you as well, Bob. Andrew first.
Okay. It is about signposting. It's about knowing where to go to ask the question. I mean, they can certainly ask us at the Great Collaboration if everything else sort of fails. The Great Collaboration website, as it currently says, is greatcollaboration.uk, has got over 60 actions in there that individuals can do. And so that is something, if you wanted to start as a household, as a person, you can look on that and you can find that very readily. I think the next stage might be, if you wanted to join a local group, look around and see who's being around in your area. Hopefully they're advertising it, through the local village notice boards or what have you, and find out about that. I think that also applies very much to your local town and parish councils if they're starting out. There are some things that we can do as town and parish councils straight away in terms of commenting on planning applications. There's some guidance for that about that on the SLC website. I'd say slcc.co.uk/climate action. There's a climate action advice page on the SLCC website, which carries a lot of advice for town and parish councils. But if you're starting out, I mean, what are your neighbouring councils doing? You know, what about the next door council? If you're living near Harbury, what's Harbury doing? I think there are things about, we talked about biodiversity, wildlife corridors. If there are badgers, if there are bats, if there are characters that are having to move around the landscape, they don't care much about parish boundaries. There's a great reason for them to be involved in doing that. And I think the other thing to do about local councils is, as I've mentioned, if you're going to speak with your local people, if you've got a neighbourhood development plan, then you're going to have events about that to discuss that. You also, in England, are required to have an annual parish meeting each year, usually in April, where you say to your electorate and your residents what's going on. I've been saying to parish councils, make that an affair, make that an event, invite your local action groups to take a stand at each of these events. And people can come along, I mean, not just the environmental ones, you know, British Legion, whoever. And they can come along, people can meet each other, and then you can get involved with them more directly. So that's something that happens every year with a parish council, which they can do very readily. And we've already talked about gathering ideas from that, from other sources, and pushing them up to the local planning authority, saying, look, we get some extra money, we really like to be doing this, whether it's flood management or community energy or whatever. So there are different ways. And again, as we're developing the Great Collaboration website, be more collaborative, shall we say, more of these networks and approaches are going to be publicised through that route.
Thank you, Andrew. Well, anything you can add to that quite exhaustive list of ways in, from what's your experience?
Well, I think you've got a pretty comprehensive answer there from Andrew. But what I would say is there are two people on this podcast with you. People can get in touch with us. We're only too keen to try and support people to get things happening. Everybody's got to play their part in this. So I think one of the things I would want to say to people is don't worry about it. I don't know anything about the technology. I just have an idea and say, well, how about this? And somebody will say, oh, yeah, good idea. I know somebody who, and so it rolls on. So don't worry too much. And have a bit of courage. Just, you know, take that step and you'll be amazed. You might be disappointed, but no, you won't. You'll be amazed. And I think, I mean, some of our members are parish councils, some of them are, a lot of them are community groups. So we're happy to hear from anybody. And as far as Warwickshire goes, I don't think there's another network like ours. If there is, fine, use that. I don't care as long as the work gets done.
Absolutely. And when we're thinking about action, and I'm trying to think about whether there's any gaps here in the work that you and the experience that you've both had so far, it's almost like the magic wand moment, really. If there's something that could make this more doable, speed it up, more information, you know, if you're a homeowner and you want to think about solar or air source heat pumps, it can be a bit of a minefield, can't it, really, let alone doing it on a more commercial scale. And so, you know, thinking about the markets that these are engaging in, they're sort of early markets at the moment, but at least we're pushing on them. But if I come to you first, Bob, you know, is there a thing that you would think of that's a gap or an omission or something that can be done to make life easier for community groups like yours?
I think it depends sort of what level you start thinking. I mean, what I would really, really like is for a cross-party agreement on a strategy that get ahead on climate change and net zero that doesn't get changed every 4 years or 2 years or 1 year, so that there's at least some consistency, because that actually affects what people can do in communities as well. Because if you're looking for a company to do something and suddenly they've all gone bust because the government's changed its policies, it's not very helpful. But I think locally that a good port of call for most people, if they want information on what to do, is Act on Energy, which is supported by the county, not just Warwickshire, but and they are building capacity all the time, and they're doing a lot on retrofit at the moment. and building up capacity to be able to support people at all levels on that. So, and they are actually part of our steering committee. So we've got a very close ties with them. The trouble is there's too much information out there in a way, and I think it's a bit overwhelming for people. So that's why I would sort of say, well, hone in on that one, see where that gets you, and that might lead to other things.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Andrew, do you want to add to that?
Yes, I absolutely agree again. I think if people just do one thing, if a parish council just do one thing, you don't have to produce a huge massive action plan to start with. Start with something. One of our colleagues in the Great Collaboration is saying she wants to have an email that sends around with about a dozen things on it that people can just click on the email if they're interested in it, maybe a community orchard, and it gives them all the information they know. Here's what you need, here's the requirement, here are the steps to success, and the way they can go. So that's something that we've got in hand. At the national level, there is an issue around community energy, which Bob also knows about, in that not everywhere in the nation can we actually provide more energy to the national grid because the infrastructure is not complete, and particularly perhaps in the northern part of the country. You can have, if you come across a place where you see a big wind turbine not going round and it's a nice breezy day, that's possibly because the local distribution network had said, sorry guys, we can't take any more energy today. You know, one of the ways around that, which is being discussed at parliamentary level, is allowing locally produced energy to be sold locally. This was something that was tried to be put into an Act of Parliament last year but wasn't successful, so that you could provide energy locally and sell it locally without having to have all this hassle around the national grid and all those issues. The government has said last September that they would have a consultation on that. That hasn't happened yet for whatever reason. So what individuals and certainly local councils can do, look out for that consultation. When it does come out, comment on it. But before then, lobby your MP, speak to your MP and say, we need to have this consultation about community energy. It's going to help the nation and local people in so many different ways. Can you please try and lobby for this within Parliament and try and get it to happen more soon, more quickly? So that's something that everybody could get involved in, and it will have a national impact.
Absolutely. And with elections looming on various levels this year, then there's never been a better time to lobby your MP. Indeed.
Absolutely.
So, gentlemen, thank you for joining me today. I've learned a huge amount about of your respective roles and what you're doing in your parts of the world. And in particular, Bob, thank you for discussing what's happening in Harbury, and hopefully it's more action than words, as you said on several times. So yes, we've learnt a lot about how community groups can work and do work, and particularly Tarryn and parish councils as well. Thank you for that, Andrew. If you want to get in touch with your local town and parish council, do visit www.warwickshire.gov.uk/parishes. And to find a directory of various community groups in Warwickshire, do visit www.sustainablewarwickshire.co.uk and click on useful resources, and you'll find hopefully everything you'll need there, and there should be a link to Act on Energy that was referenced, and lots more. Bob, Andrew, again, thank you for joining me today. Been hugely enlightening, and hopefully it's given our listeners lots to think about, and the signposting to hopefully getting them started in on this great initiative. That's the end of this episode of the podcast, of our Sustainable Warwickshire podcast. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the conversation and would like to hear more of the same, please do subscribe, and we'll be back next month with more.